may return now to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 22. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 22. Once again, we'll break into the reading at the verse 55. These last number of Sundays, we've been looking at Peter and how he denied the Lord, and we come to the final part of that this morning. Luke's Gospel 22 and the verse 55. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while another saw him, and said, "Thou art also of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We return one final time to the courtyard in Caiaphas' palace this morning, and over these last number of weeks we have observed the disciple Peter. The clues were there. Peter was going to deny the Lord. He could not survive on his own. He was so far away from the Lord. He was not walking as he ought to. He was relying on himself. Then he was sitting down in the world. We noted last Sunday, the first Sunday we looked at the clues. Last Sunday we looked at the certainty that Peter did fall. That he did deny the Lord Jesus Christ in those three occasions. Firstly, to the maid at the fire. Then when he moved to the porch area, he denied again. And the third time he came back to the fire, and it was a relative, a kinsman of Malchus. And even though the Lord had sent him that warning after the first time of the cock crowing, after the first denial, the cock crew the first time, that warning was given, but yet Peter, he fell further. He denied on another two occasions. In those last two occasions, the severity of his denials was increasing. He started to curse. He started to swear. He started to deny and to lie against the Lord Jesus Christ. He started to take the glory away from the Lord. He started to call the Lord but a man, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is so much more than just a man. Peter's a mess. Exactly as the devil wants him to be. Exactly as the devil wants each and every one of God's children to be. The devil would love nothing more than to have the child of God an absolute spiritual mess. A wrecked testimony before God and man. He wants the sinner this morning to remain spiritually bankrupt. The devil has no desire for you to have any hope in your life. He has no desire this morning for you to see the light of the gospel. The devil would rather have you lying in complete darkness, lost for all eternity. But as we come once again for this final time to Peter's denials, I want you to see that all hope is not lost. You see, a sinner does not have to remain a hopeless case. An ungodly person does not have to remain in the broad road to hell. There is hope and there is salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at the clues. We've looked at the certainty. Now, thirdly, I want us to see today the compassion of Christ to the denials. The compassion of Christ to the denials. Verse 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." I want you to picture this scene in your mind. We've explained to you over these last number of weeks the layout of that courtyard, the layout of Caiaphas' palace, how the courtyard was that area that was open to the sky, open to the heavens, and the rooms were all around the perimeter of it, as it were. And Christ was taken from room to room when he was in before Annas, and then he was taken before Caiaphas. In this particular moment, you picture the scene there in the courtyard, the fire's lit. The soldiers are standing around. The finger has been pointed at Peter once again by Malchus' kinsman. And the finger's been pointed, "You're a follower of Christ. I saw you in the garden." Peter's standing there at the fire, cursing, swearing, denying any knowledge or any allegiance to Christ. That very moment, Christ was being taken from Caiaphas onto the judgment hall. John 18, 27 and 28 tells us this. As he's being taken, the words of Peter are sounding out. The Lord, as he's being dragged or taken, you can imagine soldiers on either side, and they're walking him across from the one room to the next judgment hall. And there, as he's walking across, the words of Peter are sounding out, and the cock crows. Christ just turns and he looks straight into the eyes of Peter. What a look of love and compassion. There's a number of things about that look. First of all, it was a spell-breaking look. That look which the Lord Jesus gave to Peter was a talisman dissolving that magic spell, as it were, that was upon Peter. That spell of sin that was upon Peter that had him completely transfixed with his own self-belief and with his own self-preservation. Peter, that whole time as he's standing there, as he's denying to the various people, he doesn't realize the danger that he's in physically. He doesn't realize the danger that he's in spiritually. He's standing there, a spiritual mess. He's standing there with the soldiers around him and Malchus' kinsman's pointing the finger at him. He's the one that was in the garden. The cock crows, the Lord looks. That look just breaks Peter out of that spell of his own self-belief. And it hits him like an arrow to the heart. "Peter, you're a mess." Brought him to his senses. Sinner, today, do you realize your condition? Do you realize the state that you are in today? You who are found in your sins in this house, do you realize you're not okay? Do you understand the gravity of your situation, that if you remain in your sins, you're a spiritual bankrupt mess that is heading for hell? Continue in your current state, you're going to be lost. Not only was it a spell-breaking look, but it was a look in which the mirror of Christ, the mirror of God's word, was right there before Peter. He saw where he was. Now that ideology that he was okay, able to stand on his own, it's blown away. He isn't safe. He isn't okay. He isn't where he should be. Oh, how far he has fallen in just a few hours. How far down the slippery slope Peter has went. Just a few hours before, he's confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few hours before, he's in the presence of the Lord. He's there in that upper room. The Lord has washed his feet. The Lord is standing over him. The Lord is praying for him. Within a couple of hours, no longer is he enjoying the Lord's presence. No longer is he enjoying the Lord's power. He's out in the world. He's far from God. Just in a few hours. Child of God, that's how quickly you can fall. You can fall in an instant. The slope starts. Oh yes, it's gradual and it has to take time to get down. but it can start in an instant. And you can just start down the slope. That mirror with the look of the Lord Jesus Christ before Peter, Peter realized, where am I? How far am I from the Lord? What's happened to me? It was also a look in which Peter saw what Christ thought of him. Now, as the Lord's being taken across that courtyard and he looks at Peter, Peter looks at him. Their eyes met. And Peter's looking into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees exactly what the Lord Jesus thinks of him. You know, the thoughts of self, the thoughts of others about us are one thing. Too often we can be worried about what others around us think. What do our friends think of us? What do our neighbors think of us? What do our work colleagues think of us? What do our school friends think of us? What would they think of us if we were Christian? What does the Lord think? Greater than all. The Lord Jesus Christ, he attends every single meeting, remember that. He's in this house, he's been in this house every time the doors are open. Every single meeting that takes place in this house, whatever room it's in, whether it be in the upper room or this room, the Lord is a guest and the Lord is the host and the Lord is the one who is here amongst us. As he's promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And let me ask the question this morning, as the Lord is here in our presence, and as the Lord is looking in upon this meeting, as the Lord is looking to you and at you, what does he see? What does he think? As this meeting has taken place, we sang the hymns. We've opened up the scriptures. As our hearts been full of worship and adoration and praise. Is the Lord today looking in saying, there's a child of mine that loves me and is rejoicing? Or is the Lord looking at you today, acknowledging and observing, there's one that doesn't even know me? There's no love for me. There's no desire to worship me. Does he see one who's struggling to go on with himself? One that's having a rough time in life and struggling to look to the Lord? Does he see one who refuses the invitation of salvation? Does he see one who's a spiritual mess this morning, lost without hope, sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more? What does he see? What does Christ think? Then I want you to see something else about this. Look, it's a rescuing look. It's a rescuing look. You know, if Peter had have left that scene that night in his current state, where would he have ended up? If the Lord had have stayed in the one room, or the Lord had have went across from the room across the courtyard to the other room without ever looking at Peter, without ever acknowledging Peter and looking to Peter and rescuing Peter, where would Peter have ended up? Could he have ended up a mess like Judas, repenting himself, unable to live with the guilt? Could he have ended up ending it all? If it had been an angry look instead of a rescuing look, it may well have been the case. But there was no anger in the look that the Lord Jesus Christ gave him. There was no anger in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there was pain. Yes, there was great disappointment in the look that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Peter in that time. There was pain, there was agony. But there was no anger. There was compassion. There was love. In that look, Peter saw forgiveness. Unspeakable love. He saw who he was, yes, but he saw who Christ was. He wasn't just a man. He wasn't just his master. He was his Savior. He saw the kind of Savior that he had. That even though Peter had failed the Lord so terribly, and even though Peter had fallen so far and denied him and cursed and blasphemed and taken the glory away from the Lord, yet he saw in the look that the Lord gave him, he saw such a love, such a compassion, that it broke him. Oh, sinner, this morning that you would see Christ today. You'd see his beauty and his love. You'd see the eternal Son of God as he hangs upon the middle tree. You'd see his agony. You'd see his sufferings. You'd see the one, the Lamb of God, who was led to the slaughter. The one who opened not his mouth but bore away the sins of his people. You'd see Christ. You know, the compassion of the Lord wasn't just in the look that Christ gave him. The compassion of the Lord's also found in the message that Christ sent to him, the verse 60. At the end of it says this, the cock crew. That was a message from the Lord. What did that message mean? First of all, it was an assurance that Christ was in control. Even though the Lord Jesus was bound, even though the Lord Jesus was in the agonies as he headed for the cross, even though that he's there on trial and he's being mocked and ridiculed, he's being punished physically by those men, yet as he's being dragged across the courtyard on those two occasions, first when he's in the trial and in this time, what happens? The cock crows. He's still in control. He calmed the storm. He had all power and control over every single animal. He even had the authority over the fish to go and swallow a coin, and then for the fish with the coin in his mouth to come up and to catch onto the hook, and for the fish to be brought up out of the sea with the coin there to pay the dues. He had the power and authority to calm the storm. He had the power and authority over all of the diseases and the death. Christ, even in the darkest hour, as the Lord is there in the palace of Caiaphas, Christ is still in control, and Christ's word is still going forth, and the cock crows. You know, the crowing cock had also assured Peter that he could be forgiven. You know, up until then, Peter had argued with the Word of God. The Lord had said, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Peter's like, no, no, no. Everyone else can clear off. Everyone else will abandon you. But Lord, I'll die for you. And the Lord says, no, Peter. He had argued with the Word of God. He had disobeyed the Word of God. He'd even ran from the Word of God. But the verse 61, what does it say? Peter remembered the Word of God. The Lord's Word comes to Peter. Promise that he would be saved from the devil, the verse 32. I've prayed for you that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter's mind is cast back. The Lord promised, and the Lord said, I would deny him. But the Lord promised, and the Lord said, I will pray for you that thy faith fail not. Peter has the assurance, I'm saved when I'm in Christ. No sinner today, maybe up until now, you've argued with the Word of God. Unable to accept that you're a sinner. Unable to accept the Word of God, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unable to accept that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life. Your life's been a life of disobedience. You've refused to believe and to obey the Word of God. Know that today that you would remember it. You'd remember the love of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That you would remember the Word of God. You come to Christ. You know one other thing that the crowing of the cock told Peter? Told him a new day was dawning. You know, isn't that what a rooster's for? What does a rooster do every day? It gets up in the morning and it crows and it gives that call out. A new day has started. The old day's over. The night's coming to the end. Morning's coming. For Peter, it was a new day. He went out and he repented. He wept bitterly. You know, Psalm 30, the verse 5, it says, his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor, life weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 51, the verse 17, a broken, a contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. See, no longer was Peter in his own. No longer was he sitting in the world. No longer was he enjoying the comfort offered. He had now left it all. He had turned his back on it all. He had turned his back on all of that setting, all of the comfort, all of the warmth, all of that fellowship that he had with the world. Peter turned his back on it all and he ran away from it. He got out. All had changed. All was different. All was new. Because of the compassion of Christ. See, sinner, today that's the joy when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes you a new creature. The old things pass away. All things become new. And he loves and he cares for his people. And he's willing today to rid you of all of your sins. To wash you as white as snow. One final thing I want to leave with you this morning. We've had the clues and the certainty and the compassion. I want you to see, fourthly and finally, the verse 62, the contrition. The contrition. Peter went out. He wept bitterly. He was broken over his sins. He was broken as to who he was sinning against. He had looked to the Lord. He had remembered the word of the Lord. And now he went out and he repented to the Lord. How do I know? Because he left the world behind him. The world behind me, the cross before me. Peter went away from it all to get to Christ. You know, that's such a difference between him and Judas. Judas actually went to the world to repent himself. Whenever the guilt of Judas' sin came upon him, Judas was such with the guilt of his sin, he repented himself, and who did he go to? He went to the high priests. He went to the Jewish leaders. And he put the money, cast the money down in the temple. And then he went out and hung himself. Because he went the wrong way. He didn't go to the cross to repent. He didn't go to Christ. He went to the world. Peter got away from the world and Peter went to Christ. Because he went out and wept to him. Peter had fell dreadfully. But by repentance he rose sweetly. He knew that repentance was the key to the kingdom of grace. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ promised and taught that if there's repentance for sin, then there's salvation. You know, we can all sin like Peter. We all have sinned like Peter. Let me ask you the question this morning. Have you repented like Peter? You know the wonderful truth of salvation? Is that when we repent of our sins and we're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those sins are covered forever. They're never to be cast up at us again. We bring our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess them. He's faithful and just to forgive us them. He's faithful and just to cleanse us. He covers them. And they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. We bring our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. He washes us, and it tells us then in Romans 8 verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Do you want to see how that's evidenced in Peter's life? Peter denied the Lord, but the Lord never held it against him whenever Peter confessed. And Peter then, you go to Acts 3, Peter points the fingers at others who denied Christ. But he's no longer pointing a finger at himself. Acts 3, verse 14. Lame man had been raised to his feet. Come into the temple place, walking, leaping, praising God. The crowd had gathered around. Peter took the opportunity to preach. And Acts 3, 14, what does it say? Ye have denied the Holy One and the just. He didn't say we. Because when your sins are taken to the Lord Jesus Christ and they're washed in the blood and they're covered forever, the covering never comes off. Child of God, your sins of past and your sins of the present, and yea, the sins of the future, when you repent of them and you ask the Lord to cleanse you, they're covered. You stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation. Because you're in me. And Peter was able to stand in the temple in Acts 3. And he's able to preach. And he's able to point the finger at those that did deny the Lord. And he's able to say, ye denied the Lord. Because his sins were dealt with on the cross. Have you repented like Peter? You see, if you're still holding on to your sins, you never repented of them. You've never taken them to the Lord. What does that mean? It means there's condemnation over your head. It means you have to bear away your own sins. In hell forever. But yet today the Lord's standing with his arms wide open. And he says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. You only have to come. He'll pay it all on the cross. Repent of your sins and be converted. We've all sinned like Peter. But have we repented like Peter? You repented of your sins. You asked the Lord to save you. What does it mean to repent? It doesn't simply mean just to say sorry. It means to abhor them. To turn your back on them. To trust completely in the Lord that he'll take them away from you. To take your eyes completely off them. To fix your eyes completely upon Christ. To cry unto the Lord for forgiveness. You repented of your sins. If you haven't, what about now? Even where you sit in your seat, just simply cry unto the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Wash me. I shall be clean.